This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will continue with Surah Al-Qasas, and today we will begin from verse number 68. Alhamdulillah, we are nearing the end of the surah. And so there are some very important lessons that we will be looking at, which cover what we have learned so far in the surah as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. And your Lord creates whatever that he wants, and he also selects, he chooses whatever that he wants. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides what to create and what to choose, what to select over others. And this is a matter that ما كان لهم الخيارة, that people do not have any choice about. Meaning this is exclusively Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision, his right to decide what to create and what to give preference to in what way over another. People don't have any choice with regard to this matter. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Allah is perfect, so he would not decide anything that is unjust or do anything that is useless. وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And he is high above, exalted over what they associate with him. Meaning he is free from any association, any equality to any to anything whatsoever. Meaning there is nothing that is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is nothing that has a share in deciding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do. So here, this is an ayah which is actually a very important ayah that teaches us about the concept of qadr, the concept of divine decree. Now as Muslims, we believe that everything happens according to the decree of Allah. Meaning there is nothing that occurs except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed it. So whether something appears to be good or something appears to be bad, whether we find something beneficial or something harmful, it doesn't matter how it is in relation to us, whether it turns out to be khayr or shar for us, but everything is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, so we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, his decree prevails. So here it is mentioned that وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Your Lord, يَخْلُقُ. يَخْلُقُ is from خَلْق, to create. So he creates whatever that he wants. And then وَيَخْتَارُ. He also chooses, selects whatever that he wants. Now the word يَخْتَارُ is from خَيَرَ, اِخْتِيَار, and اِخْتِيَار is to have the freedom to choose whatever whatever one considers to be خَيْر, all right? Meaning it is to select, to choose whatever that one wants. Because of course a person would choose or one would choose what they believe is what they know to be good. Right? So وَيَخْتَارُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, right? Meaning he selects some creatures over others. So وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Now this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates whatever that he wants, and then he draws close to him whatever that he wants. And he guides whom he wants, and he lets go astray whomever that he wants. In Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 75, we learn, Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusulan وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, He selects messengers, right, to deliver His messages from among the angels and also from among people. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created many angels, right? And certain angels have been chosen for the privilege of taking, of delivering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message to humanity, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created many people, but certain individuals have been chosen to be recipients of divine revelation and then convey it, meaning messengers and prophets. So, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah creates whatever that He wants. And then from His creation, He chooses whichever creation that He wants for whatever blessings that He wants to give them. And here we see the sunnah of Allah, the way of Allah with regard to tafdeel. Tafdeel meaning giving preference to some over others. And this is something that we see in every creation, basically. We see that all people are not the same. All the matters which exist are not the same, right? All times are not the same. All places are not the same, right? Meaning that there is no, meaning that there is diversity in the creation. And sometimes the diversity means that one has been given preference over another. Now, it is important for us to understand this concept of tafdeel, because sometimes we think that, you know, we falsely assume that if one creature has been given preference over another, then that means that the one who has been preferred is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So remember that there are two types of tafdeel, okay? Meaning the preference that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to some creatures over others, this is of two kinds. The first type of tafdeel is tafdeel jibilli, all right? Jibilli as in the matter of creation. So for example, one person has been created taller than another, right? Or they have more physical strength. They have more health compared to another, right? Now, of course, these two individuals are not identical, right? We see this, that if there's two siblings even, and one is taller than the other, then this means that the one who is taller has a certain degree of privilege over the other, right? Which means that they can easily access things from, high places, just with the stretch of their arm. But the sibling who is shorter has to go get a stool or a chair or something, and then use that or ask someone for help, and then they're able to access things that are placed high. So we see that this kind of tafdeel exists within the creation, where one creature has been given something that is better or more than what has been given to another. This could be in terms of physical appearance. This could be in terms of, you know, wealth. This could be in terms of strength. This could be in terms of health, in different ways, right? We see that certain people have more money compared to others. So this is all tafdeel jibilli, all right? Meaning in physical matters. And then there's another type of tafdeel, which is tafdeel shar'i, all right, or dini, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given spiritual or religious preference to some over others. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some a religious advantage, or you could say, not religious advantage, but you could say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them a higher status, right? A higher position in terms of nearness to Him. Okay, so for example, we see that all people, of course, they have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But all people are not going to go to Jannah, right? People who go to Jannah, they have been given preference, right, over those who end up in hell. And then we see, for example, that when it comes to land, right, when it comes to different parts of the world, different parts of the earth, then there are certain places which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen above others. Not, this doesn't mean that they're more fertile, no. This means that they have more religious blessing associated to them. So for example, the masjid is more beloved to Allah than the marketplace, right? Likewise, the Masjid al-Haram, the Kaaba and its surrounding area, that place has been given preference over the, you know, the rest of the world. Likewise, we see this in even in trees, right? That yes, in one way, all trees are not identical, right? That they're not the same. Some trees are better than others in the sense that they're taller, right? They live longer, they yield more fruit, etc. But then we see that the date palm tree, right, has been given a different kind of preference over other trees, where we see that the date palm tree has been compared with the believer, right, with kalima tayyiba. And it has been mentioned in the Quran so many times. So it has certainly been given a higher status compared to others. And then we see that even within this variation, within this tafdeel is variation. So for example, from among people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen prophets. But then from among the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen some over others. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. From among the nights of the year, the nights of Ramadan are special, right? But then the last 10 nights, and from among them also, specifically the odd nights, they have more virtue over the rest of the nights of Ramadan. All the verses of the Quran are good, right? However, there are some surahs, some verses that have been given more preference over other verses and other surahs. Ayatul Kursi, you know, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Fatiha, etc. So this is a very important concept that we must remember and we must believe in. That وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who gets to decide. He is the one who creates. He is the creator. And He is the one who gets to decide what to give preference to over another in what way. So we should not, erase this tafdeel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within the creation. Because sometimes in the name of, diversity, that we say different, that when people are different, it doesn't mean that one is better than the other. It just means that, they're just not the same. Right. So in the name of diversity or in the name of equality, we tend to erase the tafdeel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran about how those who believe are not the same as those who disbelieve. Right. Those who believe and do righteous deeds are not the same as those who commit transgression and fasad and corruption on the earth. They're not identical. So the difference that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within the creation, acknowledge that. Acknowledge that. And also remember that every popular slogan and every Western principle, to be very frank, does not necessarily conform with our beliefs. So we should understand these principles and these concepts, especially those which are proposed by creation as evolving ideas. They're not absolute truths. Because when is it that research has stopped? People continue to do research. These ideas are constantly evolving. So don't hold on to these ideas as if they were absolute truths and deny the truths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned clearly in the Quran. So وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. People do not have any khiyara. People do not have any choice, meaning people do not have any say in this regard, that who is created in what way and who is given preference in what way over another. No, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides with his wisdom. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. And we should understand our place, that we are not the ones who choose. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chooses. In Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 23, we are told, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Allah is not questioned or asked about what He does, but it is people who will be questioned about what they do. So understand your place. And instead of always trying to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, that why did Allah create this and why did Allah decide this and that, and instead of criticizing the decree of Allah, focus on your actions, because you will be held accountable and responsible for what you do. And also remember that we don't get to decide who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows His favors upon, whether those favors are religious or they're worldly. And we don't get to decide who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to bless and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to deprive of any of these blessings, religious or worldly. We see in Surah Az-Zukhruf, ayah number 31, that some people of Makkah, they said that how come Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given prophethood? They said, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. That why was the Qur'an not revealed to a man from, a great man from one of the two cities? Meaning a great man, a man of power, a man of wealth, someone like Walid bin Mughira, who had a whole lot of wealth, who was, a great poet, and who had a huge family. And he was known, he was respected, he was a man of authority. How come not someone like him? Why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So people are reminded here that no, ما كان لهم الخيارة. You don't have any choice. You don't have any say in this matter. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides. And remember that just because we want something, it doesn't mean that it will definitely happen. Our wishing, our wanting does not give us the power to bring about what we desire. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will that prevails. And the prophets of Allah were taught this beautiful lesson, right? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was told in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 23, that وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. That don't even say that I'm going to do that tomorrow except that Allah wills. Meaning, remember that you can only do something tomorrow, you can only accomplish something tomorrow with the will of Allah, not merely by your intention and your wish. So if this is for the prophets of Allah, then what about us? So مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. And this also means that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides something, then we don't have any choice over there. Meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided, has decreed something for our lives, or something with regards to the deen that He has given us a command to observe, then we don't have any choice over there. Our place is to obey, to accept. All right. In Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 36, we learn, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. That it is not appropriate for a believing man or a believing woman that when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that now the believers have a choice. No, this is not a matter of choice. When Allah has commanded us something, then what befits a believer is to hear and obey. Not say that, I choose to disobey. I choose to do something different. Because this is not what befits a believer. So, مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. Subhanallah, and never think that Allah has been unfair. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, wa ta'ala amma yushrikun, and He is high above what they associate with Him. And then it is said, وَرَبُّكَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُكِنُّ صُدُورُهُمْ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. And your Lord knows, مَا تُكِنُّ صُدُورُهُمْ, what their chests conceal. Now the word تُكِنُّ is from كَافْ نُونَ, and This is basically to conceal or hide something, for example, within a case. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the chests of people conceal, وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ, and what people reveal, what they express, what they share, what they declare. Meaning, it doesn't matter whether we keep certain thoughts and feelings hidden inside of our hearts, we never verbalize them, we never express them, or that we're always expressing them. And we see this in people, right? We see this in ourselves, that there are certain matters about which we are very quiet, we never mention them, right? We have those thoughts in our heart, we keep those feelings, but we never dare speak them or share them with anybody, right? At the same time, there may be certain thoughts or ideas that we're very loud about, that we're constantly talking about. And we're kind of obsessed with those issues. And so it happens that when we're sitting with our family or with our friends or online, you know, we're always expressing those ideas, those thoughts. So Allah knows what we hide and what we declare. In Surah Al-Ra'd, ayah number 10, it is mentioned, سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ. It is all the same to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Whether among you is a person who conceals a word, a statement, or says it out loud. So whether you keep it in your heart, you're saying it in your head, or you say it with your tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. Now, why is this mentioned right after the verse that we just read? Because if you think about it, when people are not pleased with the decree of Allah, right, or with the commands of Allah, then what happens? There are, for example, feelings of jealousy, right, or feelings of su'ul dhann billah, thinking bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that this is unfair, Islam is unfair, that the sharia is unfair, and these kind of thoughts and ideas, right? And then sometimes what happens is that people don't just entertain such thoughts, they actually get very angry and very vocal, and they start talking about these matters out loud, and they start spreading this feeling of hatred or dislike of Allah's law. They start spreading that among people. So whether someone is keeping such feelings quiet or they are openly, loudly declaring them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, then what does this mean? This means we have to be very careful about what we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When something happens in our lives, something painful, what is our response? That, oh Allah, why did you do this? No, this is not how we should think. We should remember Allah is the master. Allah is our Rabb, and we are His slaves, right? And it is not, we are not in that position to criticize the commands of Allah, to criticize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. We know very little. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. We barely have any wisdom. Subhanallah. Yani, what is our place? How little is our knowledge, our wisdom, our experience, our understanding? So, at such moments, we should not jump to conclusions and entertaining negative thoughts about Allah Azza wa Jal. So our response should be, Raditu Billah. Ya Rabb, I am pleased with you, right? Hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient for us. Right? Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah. And we should express our acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree at such times. And these kind of feelings we should also keep in our heart and express them, right? Positive thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَرَبُّكَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُكِنُّ صُدُورُهُمْ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. And the thing is that if we were to become upset and angry and displeased, and we become rebellious and we say, you know what, I don't care anymore, I'm just going to go and do whatever I want, fine, live in that anger, live in that rage, what's going to happen? Mutu bighayrikum. Is your anger going to change the reality? No, it's not going to change the reality. Right? Who is it that can change your circumstances? That is only Allah, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. So you can be angry all you want, but your anger cannot change anything. Mutu bighayrikum, right? So our success, our salvation lies in what? In turning to Allah, in realizing that there is no escape from Allah except to Allah. So وَرَبُّكَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُكِنُّ صُدُورُهُمْ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. And then it is said, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. And He is Allah, there is no deity except Him. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is worthy of worship. So we can criticize all we want. We can rebel all we want, right? But our rebellion and our criticism is not going to make any difference to Allah, because He is Ilah. He is the one who is worthy of worship, meaning He is all perfect. So no matter what we do, we cannot damage His perfection. وَهُوَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ and لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ. To Him is due all praise in the first life and the hereafter. He is worthy of hamd. He is worthy of praise. Fil ula, in the first, wal akhira, and the last. What does this mean? Al ula can refer to the world, and al akhira can refer to the hereafter, right? So whether we are, whether something happens right now in the world or something happens in the hereafter, it happens by the decree of Allah, by the permission of Allah. And Allah is praiseworthy for the decision that He has made. Because no decision, no decree of Allah is bad, is wrong. Astaghfirullah. Yani it's difficult to even say such things for the purpose of explaining. But lahul hamdu fil ula wal akhirah. Yani every decision of Allah, every command of Allah is perfect, and He only deserves praise. Now, sometimes we wonder then, if that is the case, then how am I supposed to feel grateful and feel thankful at a time when I'm in difficulty, when I'm in pain, right? I was expecting relief and I was so hopeful that things were going to get better, but they're not getting better. So how exactly am I supposed to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time? Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees what is good. So even though something, yes, at the moment it feels very painful, at the moment it is very difficult, but what did the Prophet ﷺ teach us? That for the believer, everything is good, right? For the believer, everything is good. In the Quran, we're told, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. That you should say that nothing will reach us except, will strike us except that which Allah has decreed for us. Meaning, even if something apparently bad happens, it is actually good for us. It is actually good for us. It is in our favor. Because every difficulty that a believer experiences, then what is it? It is a means of purification for him. Right? It is an opportunity of patience and great reward. And we learn, for example, that on the Day of Judgment, the fuqara, the people who are poor, they will enter way before the people who are wealthy. And poverty is not easy, right? Living in poverty with financial constraints is not easy. It can take, it can really affect a person's mental health, their well-being, even their physical health. So poverty is difficult, right? No doubt about it. But is it bad for the believer? No, it's not bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring so much good out of it for the believer. So, لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ, right? And this is why in every situation, instead of just focusing on the painful aspect, let us also take a moment to reflect on how that painful experience is also a blessing for us. And do this as an exercise with your family, with your spouse, whoever it is that you live with, that whatever difficulty you're experiencing as a family, what good have you received through it? And what good do you expect from Allah because of it? So, لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And لَهُ الْحُكْمُ, to him belongs the judgment, meaning it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gets to decide what should happen, what should take place. And hukm, command, judgment, this can include the shari'i command, the religious commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, and the qadri commands, meaning the decrees that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. So وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ, and لَهُ الْحُكْمُ means he alone has the power to judge. لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And in Surah Al-Kahf verse number 26, we learn that مَا لَهُمْ مِن دُونِهِ مِن وَلِيٍّ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. That وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not include anyone in his judgment, meaning a judgment that Allah makes, it is made exclusively by him. لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, and to him is your return, meaning there is no escape from Allah. You are going to be recompensed for what you are doing. So surrendering to him, surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really the only thing that is going to help us. Right? It brings contentment in the world, and it brings endless reward and success in the hereafter. So our job is to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what condition we are in. Now in the next verse we see, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ. Now some examples of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors are given in the following verses. That how we should really reflect and see and appreciate the blessings that Allah has given us. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ. Say, have you considered, have you reflected that in جَعْلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا, that if Allah were to make عَلَيْكُمْ on you, over you, اللَّيْلَ the night, سَرْمَدًا continuous. Meaning if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to make the night continuously upon you. And notice the word alaykum, upon you, because what is upon you, you know, it overwhelms you. So you don't have any power against it, right? So if the night was made continuous, right? And the word sarmad is what? Sarmad is actually from the word sin ra dal, okay? And it is said that the meme, extra or additional letter is for additional emphasis, all right? And sarmad is basically that which has no beginning and no end, all right? No beginning and no end, meaning it is continuous, unchanging, all right? So imagine if the night was continuously on you, ila yawm al-qiyamah, until the day of judgment. Yani, imagine if the night never ended, always dark, the sun did not rise, you did not see any sunlight, then what would happen? What would be the consequences of that? If there's no light, that means plants don't grow, right? That means a major part of the food chain is destroyed, right? And that means that the life cycle is now greatly affected. That means there's no plants, there's no bees, there's no food. And eventually, there's no people, there's no life on earth, right? So if the night was constantly on you until the day of judgment, مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ. Man ilahun, who is that God, ghayrullah, besides Allah, who could ya'tikum bidhiya, who could bring you light, أفلا تسمعون? Will you not listen? Do you not listen? Dhiya is light. Now think about it. If the night was continuous, who could be that God to bring you light so you could live on? You could continue to exist. There is no God. There is no God besides Allah, right, who can bring you light that you need to survive. And notice how it has been said, who is that God besides Allah? Because this is beyond your ability, right? There's many things that, you know, we have the power to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that ability, that power. But we don't have power over the sun. We don't have power over the rotation of the earth, right? We don't have power over gravity and you know, where the earth is, etc. These matters are completely, entirely beyond us. This is why it has been said that who is that ilah, who is that power that you would reach out to in order to bring you the light that you need? It's completely beyond your power, your control. So, أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ? Will you not listen? Now, notice here, will you not listen has been mentioned. Listening has been mentioned. Because in the night, because of darkness, when we're not able to see, the ears, our hearing is able to grasp what we cannot perceive with our vision, right? So, أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ? Will you not use that same kind of listening, that sharp sense of perception, right? And listen to what is being said over here and not miss out on the truth that is being clarified to you over here. So, أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ? And remember that listening is not just to, perceive a sound, right? Listening also means to comprehend, to understand, the sound that has been perceived, but and then accept and then reflect, pay attention. So, أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ? قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ? Say, have you considered? إِنْ جَعْلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا? If Allah were to make upon you the day continuous, إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, until the day of judgment. Now, the day means what? There is sunlight. And of course, we need that in order to live. But as beneficial as it is, we also need a break from it in order to rest, right? But imagine if the day was continuous until the day of judgment, then again, مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ? Who is that God besides Allah who could bring you the night so that you could rest in it? تَسْكُنُونَ, this is from sukoon. Right, and sukoon is to find rest. So, who could bring you the night so that you could rest in it? أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ? Then will you not see? Now, notice vision has been mentioned over here because vision enables you to perceive what your hearing cannot during the hustle bustle of the day. So, أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ? Will you not see? Will you not see the truth that is being explained to you over here? Your need of Allah, your dependency on Allah, and also the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decrees are perfect, right? Because you see, where light is essential for us, darkness also serves a purpose. Right? Darkness also serves a purpose. If the day was continuous, there was no night, then would that affect our sleeping pattern? Definitely it would. Absolutely it would. We need darkness in order to have restful sleep, because it is darkness that triggers melatonin release in our bodies, right? And because of that, we're able to have restful sleep. So we need that darkness. So we see that where light serves a purpose, darkness also serves a purpose. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created both, right? For our benefit. So there are, pleasant things in life, which are welcomed, right, by us. But then there is also unpleasant things in life, which, as much as we don't like, definitely serve a purpose. And that purpose we might not fully understand, but there is, because who decided that it should happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. And you know what? We trust Allah. We put our trust in Allah. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do things in vain, right? There is always a reason, a benefit. And then we see here that when it comes to the matter of the day and the night, right, these are matters which are completely beyond our control. We don't have control over the length of the day, the length of the night, the alternation of the night and the day. You know, these matters are beyond human power. And this is for our own good. Because imagine if people were able to control the night and the day. What disaster we would cause, right? Think about it. We have some control over, some power over cutting down trees, and we are destroying forests like nothing. Like, you know, we are so irresponsible, right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us freedom in some matters, right, that is for a test. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken control away from us in regard to some of our matters, that is for our own good and well-being. That is for our protection and safety. Because if we were given control over those matters, then we would end up destroying ourselves. So there is mercy in this, right? There is wisdom in this. So whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for us, our response should be that we accept, we surrender, and we are pleased with the decree of Allah. Then it is mentioned, وَمِن رَحْمَتِهِ جَعْلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. And it is out of His mercy that He has made for you the night and the day. And why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the night and the day, you know, with so much contrast, and how the night and the day, they're consecutive, right? Coming one after the other, right? They alternate. So it is out of His mercy, right? Because we need both. And it is mentioned, لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ, in order that you may find rest in it. وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, and in order that you may seek from His favor. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, and in order that you show gratitude. Three benefits are mentioned over here, right? Specifically with regard to the day, that you find rest in it, the alternation of the night and the day, right? Or the existence of both the night and the day. There's three benefits in that. What are these three benefits? First, you rest in it. Now, of course, generally rest is in the night, but it can also be during the day, right? And sometimes we need that rest. وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِي. Secondly, you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor, meaning because of the daylight, you're able to work longer hours, you're able to go and work different places, make money, and then وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, in order that you show gratitude. Because what happens is that when you realize that the day is limited, you set certain targets for yourself. That before Maghrib, I'm going to finish this, right? When you realize that the night is limited, again, you set certain targets for yourself, that I'm going to finish this before Fajr, right? I'm going to get this done before Fajr. So the fact that the day is limited, the night is limited, they're constantly alternating, it helps you, do good. It helps you accomplish something. This sense of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it helps us focus on goals and accomplish them. And that also breeds gratitude. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And then it is said, وَيَوْمَ يُنَادِيهِمْ, and warn them of the day, right? وَيَوْمَ, and mention the day. Which day? Yunadihim, the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call them. Call who? People. Which people? the people who associate partners with Allah. فَيَقُولُ, then he will say, أَيْنَ شُرَكَائِي, where are my partners? Meaning the partners that you associated with me. شُرَكَاء is the plural of شَرِيك. الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ, which you used to claim. تَزْعُمُونَ, زَعَمْ, sometimes means to claim or to assume something without any evidence. So where are those partners of mine which you claimed without any evidence, without any proof? And it is because of those so-called partners that you forgot me, you criticized my decrees, you criticized my messengers, right? You opposed them. So where are those false gods? In Surah Yunus, ayah number 66, it is mentioned, وَمَا يَتَّبِعُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ. That the fact is that people who associate partners with Allah, they are just following assumption, right? They're only guessing. They don't have any, solid evidence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them this question on the Day of Judgment, then where are they? Where are those gods which you used to worship? And why will this question be asked? Why? This is a question for the purpose of tawbih. Tawbih means to reprimand, to humiliate them, to show them their falsehood. وَنَزَّرْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ شَهِيدًا, and we will extract from every nation a witness. Meaning from every nation, a witness will be brought out. Someone will be brought out to testify against that nation. And who is that witness going to be? It's going to be their prophet, right? فَقُلْنَا, and then we will say to who? To the people who associated partners with Allah from among every nation, that هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ, bring your proof, produce your proof. Your proof for what? Your proof for the multiple gods that you believed in, or for the falsehood that you practiced. Where is the evidence? Present it. Bring it. And burhan is a clear proof. All right. So bring your proof. But then فَعَلِمُوا أَنَّ الْحَقَّ لِلَّهِ, and they will know that the truth belongs to Allah. They will know that they are at fault, that their loss will become evident to them. وَضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ, and lost from them is that which they used to invent. So a scene of the Day of Judgment is basically described over here. And you will notice that in Makki surahs, there is a lot of discussion of the matters of the Day of Judgment. There is a lot of emphasis on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also iman bil akhirah, belief in the hereafter. These matters are clarified because unless and until our belief in the hereafter is correct, our actions cannot be correct. You see, وَبِالْ أَخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ, in the hereafter they are certain. We need to have this end in mind always. We need to have that yaqeen in the hereafter, because only then can our actions be proper. Now, an example is given in the next verses, the example of Qarun, right? The story of Qarun. And Qarun, what does he symbolize? Qarun had a lot of wealth, right? He even had a following. He was a person of knowledge, right? A person of status in his community. But we see that with all of his power and wealth and knowledge and status, his ultimate end was what? Complete loss. Why? Because he turned against Allah Azza wa Jal. He turned against the messenger of Allah, right? Musa alayhi salam. And so the lesson over here is that وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. We don't have the choice to disobey Allah. Yes, we can, right? In the sense that we have that freedom to do so. But if we were to disobey Allah, it would be to our own detriment. If we were to turn hostile, right, and oppose and refuse and get angry and upset, this will be to our own detriment. And it doesn't matter how much of a following we have and how much wealth we have. All of that is useless before Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not going to save us from the decree of Allah. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. Our salvation lies in surrendering to Allah Azza wa Jal. So the story of Qarun, what is it? Verse number 76. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. That indeed Qarun was كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى. He was from the people of Musa alayhi salam. However, قَارُون فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. He tyrannized them. He rebelled against them. Now, who is Qarun? Very clearly, it's mentioned in this verse that he was from the people of Musa alayhi salam. People of Musa alayhi salam, who were they? It was the Bani Israel. So, the meaning, Qarun was not from the people of Fir'aun. He was not min qawmi Fir'aun. He was min qawmi Musa. He was from the Bani Israel. In fact, we learned that he was actually the first cousin of Musa alayhi salam. And he was from the children of the prophets. He was from the nation, Bani Israel, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen above the worlds, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them preference over all the nations of their time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed many, many favors upon them, right? So, yani Qarun, he was from a nation of, supposedly righteous people, people who had been given privilege, great privilege by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what befits such a person? Someone who is from a good community, someone who has received many favors from Allah, what befits them? What befits them is that they show gratitude to Allah, and they show mercy to the creation of Allah. But Qarun did the exact opposite. فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. He tyrannized them. He rebelled against his own people, against his own nation. Now, we learn in the Bible, in the book of Numbers, that because Qarun is not mentioned, his story is not mentioned anywhere else in the Quran. His name is mentioned elsewhere, but the story is mentioned only over here. And also Qarun has not been mentioned in hadith either, right? So because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed us to narrate from the Bani Israel without, meaning from Israeli sources, without affirming or denying, this is why it's okay to look at the Bible, not so that we affirm everything in it, but deny everything in it, but just to see what has been said about this particular individual. So according to the Bible, in the book of Numbers, we learn that Qarun was the leader of a rebellion against Musa alayhi salam, right? We learned that he was actually born in Egypt, and he left Egypt with the Bani Israel, with Musa alayhi salam, basically. And on their way to Palestine, right, which is the place that they were supposed to go to, what he did is that he had some, personal grievances against Musa alayhi salam, right? And because of that, he felt that he was able to take a stance against Musa alayhi salam because he was wealthy, and he was a man of status. And so, because of some personal grievances, he actually rallied a couple hundred people against Musa alayhi salam, right? Now, this reminds one of nifaq, right? Of hypocrisy, of Abdullah ibn Ubay, for instance, who also, because of his jealousy, right, he turned against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the painful thing over here is that Qarun was actually a relative of Musa alayhi salam, right? But still, he rebelled against them. And them, in the Quran, we learned he didn't just rebel against Musa alayhi salam, he rebelled against his entire people, right? And we see in the following verses about how Qarun had been given a lot of wealth, right? And how he would actually show off that wealth to his people, right? He would just boast and you know, display his wealth and belittle his people. And he, instead of showing mercy and compassion to them, he actually belittled them and hurt them by showing off his wealth, right? So فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ, he rebelled against them. Now, baghi can be in the form of tyranny and oppression, and it can also be in the form of, opposing someone. So إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Now, how is this relevant to the situation in Mecca that the Prophet ﷺ was in? Remember that the Prophet ﷺ's own people, right, his own kinsfolk, his own relatives, some of them had turned against him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We see, for example, that his uncle Abu Lahab, right? His own uncle Abu Lahab, what did he do? He turned against Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he didn't just say, oh, I don't believe in you. He didn't just belittle him or mock him, you know, mock at him once in a while. No, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be walking around in Mina, right, calling the different people who had come for the pilgrimage to the oneness of Allah, Abu Lahab would be right behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, humiliating him, right, and putting him down in front of everybody. Abu Lahab and his wife, they were very active in opposing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And imagine how much this would have hurt him. So it's as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being taught that Musa alayhi salam's close relative hurt him and turned against him, right? Musa alayhi salam was patient, so you do the same. So إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. And then it is said, وَآتَيْنَاهُ, and we had given him, meaning while this the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who had given Qarun مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ, treasures. Okay, kunuz is the plural of kanz, and kanz is basically a hoard, meaning it's wealth that has been hoarded, okay, in the sense that no zakat is being paid on it. The right of the poor is not being given to them. All right. So, for example, if a person has gold and they just put it in the locker and for years it's just sitting there and zakat is not being given, right? Or a person has a whole lot of cash that's just sitting in the bank, and then the poor are not being given anything from it, that wealth would be kanz. And because of the same reason, some say that kanz is actually any amount of wealth, regardless of how much it is, right? Any amount of wealth. When zakat is not given from it, then it is called kenz. So, وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ, yani Qarun had a whole lot of wealth, all right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who had given him, because remember, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him this tafdeel, right, which was worldly tafdeel, and that does not necessarily mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with him. So, he was given all of this wealth, but how much wealth was it? Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains. It was ma, it was such that inna mafatihahu, its keys, mafatih is the plural of miftah. And miftah is a key. Fataha is to open, and miftah is the tool with which you open something. So the keys of the treasures, that really shows what kind of wealth it was just hoarded, right, and locked up. So the keys of that treasure, right, of the wealth that Qarun had been given, they were such that لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ, they would burden a band of who? أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ, of strong men. Yani there were so many keys and such heavy keys
that a band of strong men, a group of strong men, would find it difficult to carry all of those keys. So just imagine, if there's so many keys, how many, treasure boxes or whatever it is, how many vaults are there, right? How many storage places are there? And how much stuff is kept inside of them? Now, the word latanu'u, this is from the root letters nun, waw, hamza. And no is to be heavy and due to the weight of something, you know, you're basically pressed down. So this is the idea of no. So who is tanu'u? Usba. Usba is a group of men that can be anywhere between 10 and 40. Right? The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they kept saying, Nahnu Usba. We are a band. We are a group. We are a group of strong men. And then this usba is possessed of what kind of people? Ulil quwwa, people of strength, right? People of physical might. Now imagine a group of strong men together would find it burdensome to carry the keys to the treasures of Qarun. This is how much wealth Qarun had been given. So now what happened? How is it that he rebelled against his own people? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ. When his people said to him, do not exult. لَا تَفْرَحْ. Do not exult. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِيحِينَ. Indeed, Allah does not like those people who exult. So this shows us that Qarun would exult. He would show off. He was very arrogant about his wealth. And he would boast about it a lot and belittle people because of it. So this attitude of his, it was, of course, very disgusting. But then his people also advised him that don't do that. لا تفرح. Now the word لا تفرح. لا تفرح, this is from فرح. فرح. Now فرح is to be happy, right? We learn about the people of Jannah that فريحينه. The shuhada specifically, that farihina, they will, that they are ones who rejoice, right? So, is there anything wrong with being happy? No, there is nothing wrong in being happy. In fact, we should show happiness when Allah Subhanahu wa Taala gives us a blessing. But there's different kinds of or different ways of expressing joy. All right, one way of expressing joy is in the form of gratitude, right? In the form of kindness, in the form of helpfulness, in the form of, sharing. And that kind of expression of joy is what we have been told to do, right? وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. When Allah, and in hadith we learned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a blessing to a slave, he likes to see its effect on him. So this kind of expression of joy is good, that you mention your blessings, you talk about them in order to acknowledge them, you use them, you share them with others. So this kind of expression is praiseworthy. But then there is another kind of expression of joy, which is blameworthy. And what is that? It is when a person begins to think that I am better than others, right? And I have a right to belittle them because I am better, right? It creates a wall between this person and others. So this person now becomes arrogant. He begins to show off. He's not being thankful to Allah or nicer and kinder towards people, but he's becoming more selfish, more greedy, right? Arrogant, thinking that he can do whatever that he wants. So it is this kind of expression of joy that his people told him not to exhibit. They said, لا تفرح, do not exult, because indeed Allah does not like those who exult. And then they advised him that وَبْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ, but seek through that which Allah has given you the home of the hereafter. Any wealth itself is not evil. The wealth that Allah has given you is not evil, right? It's the use of that wealth which makes it evil, or beneficial. So you can use your wealth to cause corruption. You can use your wealth to hurt people, to abuse the planet, to abuse the creatures of the world. Or you can use the wealth that Allah has given you for good causes, right? And of course, the best thing is to use it in order to earn the home of the hereafter. And how is it that you can do that? That you seek the home of the hereafter through the wealth that Allah has given you in a number of ways. And this is very, very important, because remember, as I mentioned earlier, that the poor people will enter Jannah way before the wealthy people. The wealthy people will be stopped, right? They will be interrogated. Because remember, we are going to be asked on the Day of Judgment about where we got our wealth from and how we got it and how we spent it. So the more we have, the more hisab there will be, right? And also remember that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he mentioned about how the people of wealth are basically in danger, except for those who spend like this, like this, like this, like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed towards four directions, in front of him, behind him, to his right, and to his left. And basically what he meant was, except for those who are constantly generous, right? So how is it that you seek the home of the hereafter through the wealth that Allah has given you? In a number of ways. First of all, you use the wealth in permissible matters, right? And as you use it in permissible matters, then you also show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Now, is that better than not having wealth? Yes, in a way it is, because the more wealth you have and the more you use it in permissible matters, every time you use it in a permissible way, and every time you show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, you earn reward, right? Secondly, use wealth in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something we really need to pay attention to, right? We are careful about halal, haram. Alhamdulillah, majority of the Muslims, many of the Muslims are, right? But when it comes to spending money on religious matters, that's where we become very stingy, very, very cheap, okay? For example, if we're buying a makeup product for $80, no problem, right? Because, of course, I had to get it. Everybody's got it. It's the new thing. It's the new palette. It's this, it's that, right? It's the new kind of makeup brush, etc. So, yes, we happily spend money on makeup, makeup that's going to be washed and it's going to go down the drain, right? And we know that. But we don't mind spending over there. I'm not saying that spending on makeup is haram. Don't extract that from what I'm saying. What I'm saying is spend money on religious matters as well. For example, when it comes to paying for a course, right, that you can take in order to gain more religious knowledge, right? Then what happens over there? When it comes to spending money on a university course, no problem. Thousands of dollars, right? And these days, subhanAllah, everything online, the quality of education has really declined, but still we're paying the same amount of money, right? But when it comes to spending money on a course to learn the Quran, etc., then we become very cheap over there. But remember that what you spend in order to do something righteous, that is extremely rewardable. That's going to benefit you now, and it's going to benefit you in the hereafter, right? Likewise, spending money on, you know, for instance, going for Hajj, going for Umrah, saving money. These days, alhamdulillah, because you're not traveling, make the intention that the money I'm saving right now, inshallah, I'm going to go for Umrah. Inshallah, I'm going to go for Hajj. Start that fund now so that inshallah, when doors open, you're able to go, right? So, spending money on acts of obedience, on acts of righteousness, in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then thirdly, spending money in order to, especially, you know, with the intention to earn reward in the hereafter. So for example, when you give sadaqah, right? When you give in charity, whether it is in the way of Allah for a religious cause, you're not getting anything out of that immediately, right? You're just spending fi sabilillah to support a religious cause, right? Or you are giving to those who are in need, okay? Now, you don't get anything out of that right now at the moment, except for maybe a tax receipt. However, you're giving this with the intention that inshallah in the hereafter, I'll get what is better, right? And this is something that we should believe in. Because remember, when you give something in charity from wealth that is pure, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he accepts it and he makes it grow. He takes care of it like one of you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, would take care of a baby horse, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes that charity to grow until it becomes like a mountain. So use your wealth that Allah has given you to earn the home of the hereafter. Don't just spend it on your home of this world. And this is, again, something that we need to pay attention to, because these days, the more time we're spending at home, the more obsessed we are with home decor and home renovations and home this and home that. And that's fine as long as it serves a purpose. But just to take those photos and just to imitate what people are doing online, have better priorities. وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And they said to him, do not forget your share of this world. Meaning, don't forget to use the wealth for yourself in the world, right? Meaning the matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted, don't feel guilty over there. So for example, if you're spending on food, on clothing, on permissible comforts, etc., that's not wrong. So this is moderation. And what an excellent lesson this is. Use your wealth to earn the home of the hereafter, but do not deprive yourself in the world either. And they said, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And do good, just as Allah has been good to you. And specifically, be generous, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so generous towards you, you also show generosity to the creation. وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And do not cause corruption in the land. Do not desire corruption in the land. Because when wealth is not used responsibly, then what happens? It leads to corruption. And Qarun, because of the wealth that he had, he felt that he was able to rebel against Musa alayhi salam, right? So don't use your wealth as a means of causing corruption or seeking corruption in the world, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Indeed, Allah does not like those who cause corruption. Our time is up, so inshallah we will stop over here in the story, and inshallah we will continue in our next class. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.